our way is gonna seem hard. Oh, yes, it is, church. But remember, if God is with us.
I'm D. May Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to It's Gonna Rain by the Sensational Nightingales, a black gospel group from the 1950s, just shortly after about the time period we're going to be talking about. We are going back in time during today's show. In World War II, Vanport was a vibrant community that brought people across the country to work in the Kaiser shipyards. On Memorial Day, May 30th, in 1948, one of the dikes surrounding Vanport broke and destroyed the city. After the flood, many Vanport residents were displaced and struggled to find housing. It was especially difficult for many of the city's African-American residents who were not free to live in many parts of Portland. Today, we talk to the organizers of the four-day Vanport Mosaic Festival, celebrating the history of Vanport through performance, film, and poetry. Stay with us and hear an important part of Portland history. This is Stage and Studio.
We got to hold on just a little while. One of these days, everything is going to be all right.
I'm D. May Roberts, and we're holding on here. We're also going to be talking about the 68th anniversary of the Vanport flood. With me in the KBOO studio are co-artistic directors of Vanport Mosaic Festival, S. Renee Mitchell. Hello and welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And Damaris Webb. Hello and welcome back.
Hi, D. May.
And Laura Loforti.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Same here.
It's all great to have you here on stage and studio. Welcome. The city of Vanport was actually a portmanteau combining the words of Portland and Vancouver. And at that time, more than 40,000 people came to work at the Kaiser shipyards and were housed in Vanport. More than 40% of the workers and families were African American. Now, your Vanport Mosaic Festival, it seems like a huge, large, mega project. I'm amazed at how many activities you have on, and you probably are too for these 4 days.
Yes.
Who wants to start the story of how this all came to be founded? Any volunteers? Laura?
Yeah, sure. So we all had, each of us had our own individual projects from Vanport, and we developed friendships through other projects, and we have the common goal to raise visibility to a story we felt is very important and forgotten. So little by little, this crazy idea came about, and of course it started small, like, oh, let's do a day, a Sunday, and then now we are at 4 days with so many incredible activities and collaborations. I want to stress that this is a collective effort.
It's a whole community effort.
Absolutely.
When did you first start the Vanport Mosaic, all three of you? When did the first one, is this the very first festival?
This is the inaugural festival.
So
yeah.
Up until then, you've all been doing different aspects. Absolutely. Of what you're bringing together.
Yes.
So that does seem logical, you know, to put it all together on one weekend, doesn't it? Okay, so let's talk about all the different aspects of it. But first, since you were all involved in different aspects of honoring the Vanport history, how did all of you come to, you want to give a little personal history about how you first found out about Vanport? You're all obviously not of the age where, you know, you would personally experience it. But anybody want to take that on, Renee?
Well, I would say that I first found out about Vanport when I was asked to write a poem about the history of it. And so I did a lot of research and performed the poem when TriMet had opened up its Vanport stop on the light rail, and also had done some work with PSU, because the early creation of PSU was Vanport Extension Center. And so there was some interest there. And so I just did more and more studying and did, you know, a little writing about it.
How many years ago was that?
I would say that was maybe about five, six years ago.
Okay. Pretty recent. Pretty
right.
recent. How
right.
about you, Damaris? When did you first come across Vanport?
I first came, even though I'm from Portland, Oregon, and grew up here, I had never heard of Vanport until just a couple of years ago. Rich Rubin, now Portland playwright, approached me about considering directing his play, Cottonwood in the Flood, for a staged reading for the Fertile Ground series. And I was really drawn to the storytelling style as well as the content of the story. And then once talking about that, it turned out that so many family members were connected with somebody else who had come here because of Vanport. So many of the people that I grew up with were connected to that. So very recently for myself, and I'm really excited that there's so many other types of media that exist that are reflecting on this story.
And how about you, Laura?
Well, this is going to come as a big surprise, but I'm actually not from Portland, and not from the United States. And so I moved here 3 years ago, actually, and I lived, I'm originally from Italy, and I actually left Italy because I found it so homogeneous. And when I was growing up there, you know, we're all the same, look the same, believe the same, eat the same food, still do. So when I, you know, I travel and I lived in different places, and I ended up choosing Portland as my home with my family, and I find it really unsettling to just feel how homogeneous and white it is. And so I started to kind of, you know, I'm a journalist by training, and so I started to research what's the history, how we ended up this weird way, and you know that.
And then you came across Vanport.
Vanport
that
is
way.
One of the okay. first things that you come across.
Interesting, different paths, different journeys, but you all come together in the Vanport Mosaic Festival, and it's great to learn about your personal histories. And your connections, you know, through this time period. And Damaris, I'm not surprised you didn't know about it growing up in Portland. It wasn't taught. You know, right. A lot of ethnic and racial history is not taught, right. You know, in public schools.
And that,
still.
And, yeah, know? And I think yeah. that's one of the main things that we all feel strongly about, that these stories aren't being discovered, but rather they're being amplified by us pulling together for the festival to talk about them. And, you know, that it's not taught in the schools, that the dominant paradigm, as I'm fond of saying, isn't remembering.
Yeah, is in remembering and also, you know, honoring, too. I just want to bring it here to the impact on the loss of Vanport to the community, because it was a vibrant community and during World War II, and this flood in 1948 just wiped it out completely. And I was just wondering, what was the impact on the loss of Vanport to Portland? We basically lost a lot of African Americans. I mean, that's right. the main impact.
Well, it's not really that we lost African Americans because of Vanport. I think actually what happened is that because they were confined pretty much mm-hmm. in Vanport, the flood pretty much opened, you know, Portland was kind of forced to welcome them, if we yes. can use that word. And that's how, you know, a community that was very vibrant in Vanport actually made themselves home in Albina, in the Northeast. And that became the epicenter of a very vibrant community that, as you know, we are losing and we lost. And so I think that's really the impact of Vanport that actually changed the fabric of Portland, mm-hmm. I would say in a great way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
And the experiences that people had living in a, you know, somewhat integrated city, you know, really experimental social situation, that leaving that, they knew that there were other ways to be.
A major topic here. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts with my guests Damaris Webb, S. Renee Mitchell, and Laura Laforte. And if you want to follow along as we talk with the many events in the Vanport Mosaic Festival, you can visit their site at vanportmosaic.org. And I have that link and more info at stageandstudio.org and also at kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Let's talk to what you each are doing individually, and it's all coming together in this project, this festival project. You're directing, Damaris, you're directing and producing Cottonwood and the Flood, which you talked a little bit about, by Rich Rubin. And Renee, you're performing in it.
I am. Mm-hmm. I'm Alma in the play, the mother.
Yeah. Well, so it sounds like a great cast. Joseph Gibson's in it, and I recognize quite a few of the names. Let's talk about the play itself. It's a full production, and you've had a couple of readings so far. How has it developed, Damaris,
process? It's actually been an amazingly quick up to get it up on its feet for a new play and for it to be independently produced. We had done stage readings during the Fertile Ground series 2 years ago, and then a few other social justice organizations supported us in having readings at their places. And then it is the truth that there are still some people who lived in Vanport who are alive today, former residents, but they won't be with us that much longer. And it felt that that care and that momentum was here to get it up on its feet. So although it is a huge endeavor to independently produce, we felt that this was the time to do that. And I have to give a great nod of support from Portland Parks, who's been really helpful, really supportive in finding us a space at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, and all the other funders and personal donators and in-kind offerers.
It's been a community effort, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And
I'm glad it's at the IFCC, too.
Me
that
too.
has a warm place in my heart, the IFCC. So the play itself, though, let's talk a little bit about what does it cover? Is it after the flood? What do we learn from some of the stories?
Mm-hmm. So the play focuses on a fictional family, the Hawkins family, that comes from Selma, Alabama, to work the Kaiser shipyards. And they are multi-generational family, so you get the vantage point, the lens through the oldest son who is serving in the war in Europe, the grandfather who is, you know, has his memories of having parents that were just freed slaves, the parents themselves who are trying to integrate into the idea of this somewhat northern city. And then we are narrated by the youngest member, Henry Hawkins, who arrives in Vanport as a preteen, and then lives his life, you know, through into Portland. So we get to see the effects of the Great Migration to Portland, as well as what that city and the surrounding city of Portland had impact on those individuals.
And Renee, tell us more about your character.
Well, as I mentioned, as Damaris mentioned, she's from Selma, and she's a strong woman in the sense that she really identifies herself through work. And the things that she did in Selma were more focused on sewing. And now she's a welder and has to learn how to do that.
Oh, you're welding in the play.
Well, yeah.
I want to see that.
And then she recognizes there's some commonalities about welding and sewing. And also trying to make sure that, just like in today, that my sons are safe. You know, there were certain things I needed to be aware of, and certain things I need to tell my sons about how to be safe in Selma, and then that translates into how to help them be safe in Portland as I'm being introduced to this integrated society from Selma to Portland, and how that really create some interesting situations with my sons. And so, and also just continuing to, you know, be a daughter to the grandfather in the play. And so it's really, it feels like a great family, even in rehearsal. The people who are in the play are very respectful and appreciative of each other. And so I think that you're going to get a sense of that when you see the play, that this is really an authentic experience that someone may have had, and that we're just trying to help use that authentic experience to help people understand the impact of Vanport, not only racially, but also women were allowed to work in the shipyards and make the same, you know, generally the same amount of money as the men, and that it was an experiment, and that was a 24-hour kind of as shifts going on, and that children were taken care of in the daycare. I mean, that was
amazing.
It was amazing.
Very progressive for the time.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because of necessity, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So, Damaris, it sounds like Rich Rubin did a lot of research
yes.
to be able to put this,
yes,
this play
I know
together.
He did, yes.
Yeah, so that's kudos, and you've been working with him since the beginning, right? Since,
yes, I'm very proud to say that, and the majority of the cast has been working
as well.
From
the beginning.
You've traveled
with each production, yes. And now you get the full production. So, Renee, you're also working with your Spit Right project, too, and Youth Poets, and
right.
they'll be doing
they'll
different
be incorporated,
events.
Yeah. Yes, into the programming, uh-huh. And one of the things that I love about what's happening with the festival, it is very multi-generational, and finding ways for people to kind of find a place within the activities that really resonates with their age groups. So it feels good to be able to have poets, you know, not only have them study the issue of Vanport, but also the issue of belonging and displacement, which are current day issues in the face of gentrification. And so I think it's really important that we use this as a platform for young people to speak out against about that, and really let people know how this is affecting them.
And it's great to have, you know, the next generation to be part of this, most definitely. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dima Roberts with my guests S. Renee Mitchell, Damaris Webb, Laura Laforte, and we're talking about the Vanport Mosaic Festival. Find out more at vanportmosaic.org. And so I also want to talk, Laura, about you're the director of this oral history project, mm-hmm. and it's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you know, how long and how many people have been involved in collecting the video oral histories.
Sure. Well, we started in 2014. And again, I want to stress out that, you know, people say your project, your stories. I call myself a story midwife because my role is really just to create the space for this story
like
to be told.
I
work with many, many incredible people, some with some experience in capturing interviews, some with never done it. And so we work together. We create a space where these stories and these questions and these experiences can be validated. So this is our third year. And again, we thought these stories, you know, after a few, how many stories can you possibly tell? But we have to keep in mind, the story was kind of stuck. It's a stuck story. When people know a little bit about Vanport, they know that there was a flood. And so initially, how many stories can you possibly hear about the flood? I mean, it's a dramatic event, but they start to sound a little bit the same. Of course, that's not true, but that's how people perceived it. And so the first challenge for us was really to tell the full story. And so creating this space where the community members and impacted communities can actually tell their side of the stories and actually have the opportunity to tell why they were in Vanport, how did they come, what did they build, what did they lose in the flood, and finally, what did they do afterward, what kept them together, and what did they build. It's an incredible opportunity, and so that's why we are still doing stories, because every time we share these stories, which are, you know, 3-5 minutes long, and they're edited from a 1 hour long interview.
Yeah, how many hours do you think you've captured?
Oh, well, we've done probably by now 30 interviews, mm-hmm. so it's more than 30 hours. And then we have this smaller chapter so that we can share them as a mosaic,
sure.
again, because there are so many perspectives, so many different experiences, sometimes also in contradiction to each other. And so we want to validate them all, and that's why we call it mosaic. So so the story is still told.
It's still going on,
right? It's still going on. It's unfolding.
Well, I've got a clip from Mrs. Marge Moss, and it's a Vanport survivor from a video you posted on the Vanport Mosaic page on Facebook.
We don't want to forget Vanport. Not us survivors. This project is very important. It tells the true history because the people that lived it are the ones that are telling their story. Being on camera and telling my story, I feel very proud. And I am thankful that I am still here where I can tell my story. I want to leave my mark.
How many former Vanport residents are there now?
Well, more than we thought. Yeah. We are actually planning a big component of the festival. This festival is really for them. Let's just put it out there.
Yeah.
So there is an event that it's actually a private event, but it's the most important component of the festival. It is the reunion. It's the celebration of those who were there and are here.
Do you have
still.
A number of how many?
I think we have maybe 60.
Okay.
In our list, and some will be able to join us, some won't. Some, you know, we lost in the past few months, and we are going to honor them anyway. The reunion is an incredible opportunity to tell them, you know what, we do remember. Thank you for sharing your story. We will remember. We will learn from your experience.
Well, you're sharing the stories in 3 free screenings of community-produced short documentaries. And the whole project is called Lost City Living Memories, Vanport Through the Voices of Its Residents.
Yes.
So there are 3 different events. Do you want to give a shout-out to them?
Sure. So the first event is on...
is it the May 28th at 6:30, 8:30? Screening?
Yes,
okay.
That is the one. I'm sorry, we changed
oh, you did.
Location
okay.
No, a few times. So I'm The 28 is actually the one following the reunion, so I'm already emotional about it because I think we're going to have a big presence of Van Performer Residence. So it's going to be at the Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church, and we're going to open the door for the community at 6:30, and we're going to have Senator Jackie Winters, who herself is a flood survivor, and she's going to read the city's proclamation for a Vanport Day of Remembrance, and this is another incredible component of the festival. We finally have a day, May 30, recognized as a day to remember Vanport every year. So that's going to be pretty special. So we are going to follow the proclamation with a screening of the stories. On Sunday, May 29th, we have the screening in the morning at 11 o'clock at Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. Another beautiful event because we are honored to have Shalanda Sims, who
Vanport the Musical. Yes. I've talked with her about that.
Yeah, another very important project. And I do recognize her mentorship for my own project. And so she will come and she actually going to perform a few songs from her musical.
Wonderful.
So that's going to be wonderful. And then Monday, May 30th, which is actually the day of where we commemorate the 68th anniversary of the flood, the screening will be at Irvington Covenant Church. Initially was planned for Portland Community College. So I do invite you to check the update. It's going to be in a different location at the same time.
Yeah, I have that at stationstudio.org and kv.fm.
And that is also pretty special. We're going to have... First of all, we're going to have Renee's youth coming and performing the spoken word. Yes. And Commissioner Nick Fish will come and read the proclamation and commemorate the time of the
flood. So all of these events are free, but seating is limited. So you're recommending people RSVP. And you can find that link at lostcity.eventbrite.com and also at Vanport Mosaic. .org
Yes.
And stationstudio.org.
Or just call me.
KBU.fm. Just call Laura. You'll be fine. She'll get you in. So in the final moments here, we just have a few minutes, but Vanport Mosaic Festival also is, you're doing Vanport, the Surge of Social Change that you're presenting with the history website Oregon Black Pioneers.
Yes.
So do you want to give a shout out for that?
Absolutely.
Laura?
That is so exciting because through this process, we are finding many images that we never seen. And so Kim Moreland, who is a board member of the Oregon Black Pioneers, and she is an incredible curator.
Kim Moreland's wonderful.
She's wonderful. Yeah. And Oregon Black Pioneers, they do incredible work. So we are honored to be partner with them. And so we are curating with this wonderful exhibit with many archival photos never seen. And again, this is an experience that touches many communities. We found, actually, those are part of the screenings, experiencing from the Japanese former residents. They lived in Vanport after being interned and losing everything and then losing everything again. And so we want to honor that through the stories and through the photos that we found. We have a native voice. Native Americans were in Vanport. They worked in the shipyard. They helped their war effort. So we want to honor each experience. The veterans, we finally have a veteran who attended Vanport Extension Center. And so we want to honor that in the exhibit and in the stories. We have artifacts. You know, there's a wonderful woman, Terry Johnson. She lives actually on the what used to be Vanport. And she's been digging out artifacts for, I think, 20 years. And she's so kind that she will share her artifacts. So, yeah, the exhibit is another opportunity to learn more and to learn the full story of Vanport, which is very layered, very rich, a beautiful mosaic.
I don't know how our listeners are feeling, but I'm just swirling, all these, the history, what you're doing, the whole, I guess the depth and breadth of this entire four-day festival is just... I don't know. I'm just kind of swimming with thoughts about it. So it's going to be a fantastic event. And I don't know how you're pulling it together.
We don't know either. don't ask at this point.
I don't welcome you, your job.
Let's talk on June 1st.
We'll see how you feel after that, right? So any final shout-outs? Do you want Damaris?
There's a rare opportunity for people to be on the actual Vanport site for the Welcome Home to Vanport event on Monday, May 30th at Portland International Raceway, where there's some self-guided tours of the actual site, which is not open to the public generally.
Okay, so. And you find that at vanportmosaic.org?
It's all part of the festival. That's curated by Susan Barthel, okay. Who's been doing tour for, I think, 25 years. Wow. There's lots of people who've been doing initiatives.
And nobody knew about it
Until
you pulled
it
all
so we want to make sure that people know, yes, probably this is becoming the most visible effort, but it builds upon the effort of many, many people before us.
Yes. And how about you, Renee?
Well, I also wanted to make sure that we honored, we had talked about this being a very community effort-based effort, and we certainly could not have done this without all of our sponsors and our funders who also believed in what we were trying to accomplish and making sure that we gave this great inaugural festival to continue it year after year. And so the main funders, if I might mention, are the Oregon Heritage Commission, the Oregon Community Foundation, Oregon Humanities, the North Portland Neighborhood Services, even the Port of Portland, Multnomah County Drainage District, and just a number of the Oregon Historical Societies. So we just wanted to make sure that we were just showing gratitude
Took
for our sponsors.
A community of funders,
absolutely.
Too. Well, we're running out of time here, but I just want to encourage people to visit and come to as many of the events, visit their site, and come to as many of the events as possible. The Vanport Mosaic Festival, 4-day multidisciplinary event, runs May 27th through the 30th, conceived and curated by my guests here, artistic co-directors Laura Laforte and Renee Mitchell and Damaris Webb. And the festival honors the 68th anniversary of the Vanport flood. And for a full schedule of events, go to vanportmosaic.org. I have all of that info as well as a podcast of this interview later today at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stage, the letter N studio. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to all
Thank
of you.
Thank you, teammates.
And have a fantastic festival. I'll be definitely checking out many of the events there. Before we go, I have an announcement and some music. There we go. That's from the Oregon Children's Theater's production of James and the Giant Peach, and that's Roald Dahl's classic play about an orphan boy who enters a gigantic magical peach to go on a fantastic adventure. Let's all dance right now. Okay. The show runs through May 29th, Saturdays at 2 p.m. and 5 p.m., Sundays at 11 and 2 p.m., set 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., and it's 2 p.m. only at May 28th and 29th. And all shows are at the Newmark Theater. That's located at 111 Southwest Broadway in Portland, and the show runs 75 minutes with no intermission and is recommended for ages 4 and up. Music is loud. For more info, visit Oregon Children's Theater's website, octc.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. If you missed any of the show, go to stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio, and like us on facebook.com/stage the letter in studio, or tweet me at stage the letter in studio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We'll